to speak today about two objects that seem to be completely unrelated in the Bible. And as so often happens in the marvel of the Word of God, objects and people and places and events that don't seem to have anything to do with each other and can be separated sometimes by 1,000 years or more are beautifully related under the surface, and they just point to one single divine author of the Scriptures. And today I'd like to speak about the laver and the basin. And to do that, I want to first of all read from the Scriptures, first of all in chapter 30 of Exodus, speaking about the priests. And verse 18 and 21 say, "Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not." And that's, of course, referring to the priests there in their ceremonies. And then all the way in the Gospel of John, in the New Testament, and I'm going to read from a printout here, chapter 13 of John, verse 5. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, and many of you maybe know exactly what the story is there, says, "After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet." And so I'd like to talk about these two bowls for water and look at some very interesting lessons, I think, related to them. Okay. It's common knowledge that the emphases of the Old Testament and the New Testament many times are very different. And though there are never any contradictions, on the surface they can look like they're speaking of different things. But there are no contradictions in the Scriptures, in the New Testament or the Old Testament, or between them, because every single word from either comes from the same perfect mind of God. So, whenever there are two perspectives, that's exactly what they are. Either two viewpoints, sometimes even three angles, from which to gain a better understanding of the truth or the event that's being looked at. One subtle example of this kind of biblical harmony below the surface, so to speak, shows up in these two seemingly unrelated vessels for water. Okay, so the bronze laver. The bronze laver was placed, as we read, between the altar and the tabernacle entrance, and one of its purposes was to highlight the seriousness of approaching God. It is no small thing for fallen, feeble, finite human beings to have access to the Almighty One. And so, the priests were to use the water in that bowl to wash themselves ceremonially and then go about the rest of their duties. It was essential for them to be clean before they entered the holy place. The laver was not there for convenience or for comfort. It was absolutely necessary. And to ignore it was basically a death sentence. So this was serious business. But as we move forward and go into the New Testament and land in the Gospel of John, for example, where we read, we come to this extraordinary scene right before the Lord's death. And it helps us see another side of the character of God. Not a contradictory one by any stretch, but another side. In this passage, the Lord shocks his disciples by grabbing a basin, getting a towel, filling the basin with water, and then beginning to wash every one of their feet, every one of the disciples' feet. Okay, so naturally
They are dumbfounded. They don't know what to do. They're awkward. They're embarrassed. They just, I mean, normal. What on earth do you do with this?
Everyone except Peter.
Peter never was very good at following anybody else's example and just to sit back and watch things.
So he takes the initiative and says what probably everyone else would have said if they'd had enough nerve, and that was, "Lord, no way, you're not washing my feet." But the Lord insisted, as we know, and then he explained the reason and gave a lesson. But once again, we see in these two passages, so far, the one from the other, we see that beautiful and amazing marriage of God's grace and truth. In Exodus, we see the truth, that unbending reality of who God is and what he wants from his creatures. And also, the penalty for not measuring up. Yes, there is a relationship between the holy God and sinful man, but the emphasis is on the terms that he dictates, and nobody is supposed to forget it either. So that's the focus. But when we come to the New Testament, into John, the Son of God brings out the powerful doctrine of grace. After all, as John 1:14 says, the Lord Jesus was full of grace and truth, in that order. So the offended one, against whom every man has sinned, steps forward in love to make the reconciliation happen. He isn't fudging on the truth. Nor is he ignoring man's guilt. But he sees the dirty feet and he comes out with a solution and a lesson. So, these two passages, so far apart, such different contexts, harmonize beautifully the two attitudes of God. As he relates to stained and soiled humanity. On the one hand, he orders a labor for purification and specific steps to follow. On the other, he gets a basin, fills it with water, gets a towel, and starts washing feet. Wow! What a God! What a Savior! What a beautiful truth! Let's pray. Dear Father, it is quite obvious that your standard of holiness is far beyond my reach, and that all would be hopeless if I had no help. But I praise you for being gracious and kind, for not only the labor, but also the basin. Thank you for providing a way so that through your Son, I can be clean and enter your presence. Amen.